Welcome back to the Christopher Scott Show for episode number two today. Man, I can't remember the last time we did this, a little bonus episode. It's been a very, very long time. I want to say at least back 4 years ago. So that's a lot of podcast episodes since I've come back on and done a second one. And I'm standing up here if you're watching the video, which is extremely unique. It used to be a time back in the day I would do podcasts standing up. I haven't done it in a very long time for a variety of reasons. And today I just said, you know what? We're just going to throw this on and do this down and dirty style. Why? Because there's some breaking news that's going on that I thought, well, for a change, let me just get a little ahead of it. The podcast has never really been about getting ahead of anything. It was never my goal to be a trendsetter. Really just the opposite, to restore a bunch of different things, really, I don't need to get into right now. Anyway, today I'm making an exception, and part of the reason why is that in the back of my mind, I think I need to get this book, Rugged Survivor, done. There's a lot of good information out there. And the reason I think that it's so important is because there's so many people that are either walking around with their heads in their sand, as evidenced by the number of people that are run to Costco every time there's a storm. No disrespect to Costco, by the way. But if your main concern is paper towels in the event of an emergency, we're not speaking the same language, so to speak. So I think there's a lot of people that are running around like that. Then you have people that, you know, maybe want to be prepared, trying to be prepared, and sometimes getting some disinformation, not really knowing what to do. And in some cases, I think getting scammed, flat out scammed. You know, it's made to be emotional. You know, stock up now. And I mean, that's the sales pitch. And that's how you get people that are stuck with their head in their sand, they get their head out of the sand. But there's got to be a balance of, you know, proper planning and emotionally driven response, I guess you could say. So with all that, my goal is to just shed a little light on what's going on and maybe what you can do about it a little bit. And, you know, there's been a lot of predictions that we're heading into a chaotic time, myself included. I would talk about it almost every day at this point. You don't see me getting a lot of rah-rah, you know, beating the drum, gotta move, because in my opinion, I think a lot of things are already well in motion right now. There's not much we're going to do to stop it. We're going to be forced to react to it. And I don't like that any better than anybody else, I can tell you that. But that's the situation. So before I keep going down this philosophical path, if you will, let me tell you what's going on. So there's an earthquake that hit the East Coast today, and we felt it here where we're at. I don't know. I looked at the map to try and ascertain exactly, you know, where we fell and all that. We don't have any insurance claims. I didn't see any cracks in the foundation. I was down here in the studio. So, you know, down here in the basement of our home. And my wife had literally just come in the door from out running, doing a little shopping. And I thought it was her, was rolling some kind of wheeled coaster or something. You know, so it sounded like somebody's moving furniture up there. And it kept going for a little bit. And then I thought, what is that? Is that her? But then I heard the dogs bark, and I realized she wasn't in the house. Are the dogs gotten into something here? What's going on? And we just had a new air conditioning system put in, and hopefully the mechanic who did it for us isn't listening. It's like, did something go wrong with that thing? You know, so it was my third guess on all that. And that's when I came up. My wife said, what is that? I said, I don't know. You know what it is? I'm looking around. Like, you know, the highway's not far away. Somebody, I don't know, some kind of an industrial thing going on. We really didn't know. And then a short while later, it came to be that, sure enough, it was an earthquake that hit. Now, I've experienced a couple different earthquakes in my life. Japan, here in Pennsylvania. I remember a situation inside the building. It was quite a bit of movement. It was a little freaky. Not as loud. I guess they're not all the same. Right. This one, this is my guess, but it kind of felt like the plates moving over each other as opposed to hitting necessarily. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but it was a little freaky to say the least. So you got that going on, and big deal. I mean, it happens, really. We are in a seismic zone here. Like I said, it's happened since I was a kid. We were not far. We're like an hour away from the Limerick Nuclear Power Plant here in Pennsylvania, and that has always been under some type of seismic, activity zone there, but nothing to reach any expectations or anything disastrous from that. It happens, fairly regular occurrence. Now this time is a little different. The strength of it. And the distance, and also the proximity to New York City, it was a little strange. Other than that, and you're coming off this bridge coming down, doors coming off of airplanes, and it starts to make you wonder, what the heck is going on? Is this some kind of biblical prophecy? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. And we could spend, lots of time dwelling on that kind of thing, probably. Preferably out back over a fire or maybe a little whiskey or something like that. I'm not really one to do a whole lot of speculating, but it is what it is. And a lot of this has been predicted, some of it to be expected, whatever the case might be. But there's a bigger story I want to bring your attention to. And I think it's the convergence of all this that I wanted to mostly bring your attention to. A big little story came out yesterday. And I forget the blog that it came out on, but it said that the CIA is warning that Iran is going to attack Israel within 48 hours. I see other headlines coming out suggesting that this may turn into an all-out, ground assault where you literally have a, I guess, a frontal war, Israel against Iran. Now, what does all that mean? Well, I want to back up a second. I don't know. I'm no expert on this, so I want to make that clear. And I'm not trying to give some kind of deep dissertation. It's not my goal. But just as a overview of what's going on and kind of what I see militarily, just so we can say, well, how's this going to impact us? All right. I say that because I know there's going to be people watching, listening, and say, you have some, great wisdom about all this that I don't. And great. You can share it with me. info@ChristopherScottShow.com. I'd love to have it. Probably not, because that's something I talk about a whole lot, but let's get into this. I have been talking for a while, and I believe that I found this on the Jerusalem Post a couple of years ago, that there was this mounting Arab effort, many, many million man army that were prepared to fight Israel. And it seems to me that in addition to that, there's a desire on our side to get into it. For what reason? To finally wipe out the Muslims or vice versa, the war of all wars. If that's not a holy war, tell me what is. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation in everything I just said, but I know this. There's a lot of talk on both sides about a very volatile war in the Middle East. This has been known for some time. This is the whole Trump classified documents case, the story behind the story. Why are they so revved up about it? They claim that he has the Miley's war plans for Iran. What happened to all that talk about all that? We may never know. Why did Trump want it? Why are they so concerned about it? We may never know. Maybe it's all a ruse. But it seems to me pretty certain that there's a bona fide plan to go to war with Iran. Now, let me say that's not all that strange either, because they are an adversary. And just purely as a planning measure, this is the types of things that these generals do. And I would say that could be fair enough too. And you say Muslims have been talking about destroying Israel for since the beginning of time. And this is probably true too. So maybe none of this is new at all. And it's just taken us right back down the same path that we've been a million times. And it might be. It might be. And I want to talk about that a second, because it's definitely a possibility, a strong possibility. But there's also a possibility that we're going to see a scale of conflict that we have not seen before. We've got a large scale infiltration here in our country with our open border. You've got terrorist cells all over the place. What happened to ISIS? Just disappeared? I don't think so. So what does all this mean? Couple things. At the very least, I see huge economic pressure continuing, probably getting worse. Oil prices looks like are going to go up nicely because of all this steel, because of the bridge. Airline prices are going to go up. Regulation pushing prices up. More effort for war efforts is going to take away from other things. That's where the money's going to go. It's going to leave money, less money for other things in a fiscal environment that is already maxed the heck out. Our GDP, debt to GDP, is higher now than ever, even since after World War II. This was after a war was won and a great rebuilding of Europe took place. What do we have to show for it now? Nothing, really. Nothing at all. Just a huge, huge debt burden. And now with this security risk, our enemies, it appears, are going to strike while the iron is hot. Europe is broke. We're broke. Who knows what's going on with China? There may never have been any money there, but they do have large manufacturing capability. Russia seems to be holding its own in many ways. Iran, we don't know, but I've seen videos of their defensive capabilities. So, economic pressure, that's one thing I see. I see the 1970s all over again on some level, just as my guess. High prices, we're already seeing it. You know, I've been talking about joking around on the podcast. We went, you know, we've always bought ribeye since I was very young. And suddenly we're looking at other cuts of steak. Yeah, I know, big problems to have, right? I don't mind. I really don't. But it's just amazing to me that even for us, that this price issues are beginning to take a toll in different ways, in many different ways. And I see the strain. I wrote a couple of checks recently. I told you a new air conditioning system. Had some other work done. I wrote a couple of checks for these things, and they were deposited and cashed in a nanosecond. What does that tell me? That people need cash right now badly. And I don't think we've seen the worst of it. So that's one part of it. You got the internal security threat. Now, the possibilities and the problems that that could create are far and wide. My biggest fear and concern, the new liberal Democrat world order method seems to be that when conflict strikes, lockdown, have no elections, right? And you see it in Ukraine. You saw it here with COVID. We had an election, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I could see, you know, a greater war and just the threat of civil unrest for them to say, we're not going to have an election. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And, you could see just a lot of change come about because of that. Then you get into the possibility that, you know, there could be a nuclear war, a really crazy conflict come out of this that you know, we haven't seen here on our soil ever. People, this country, we don't know what it's like to sacrifice in those ways. You know, you think the one bridge going out around Baltimore is a problem. Whew. And I'm beginning to wonder if the, you know, the I-95 bridge here in Philadelphia, you've got these strikes that seem to be going on. Aging infrastructure, I know. I don't want to talk like a crazy conspiracy theorist. But what's the end result? Martial law type scenario like we have with COVID? You can't get things. You can't go anywhere. What does all that mean? What do you do about it? I'm going to say to you, if you haven't already, now is the time to prepare. You need to be thinking about security and survival, making sure you have the means to get out quickly if need be. You know, if we learned of, or if there were to be a nuclear strike on Philadelphia, we would have to get out. And we are absolutely in a situation here where within, I could probably be loaded within about an hour and we could be out of here prepared to travel several hundred miles and get out quickly. I suggest you do the same. Get home bags in your vehicles if you're regularly away from your home so you get back to your family if need be. I'm not going to go into the details of all this. And then, of course, the ability to shelter in place. And, you know, how much is enough? And I want to say this, 96 hours would be a great starting point, okay? And then work your way up to 30 days from there. I don't carry 5 years worth of food. We have a few months. Now, certain things we have indefinite. We have solar lighting that we can indefinitely provide lighting. We have heat resources that if we really had to lock down, we could go years with the food, the heat sources that we have, water, indefinite supplies, sand, even if there was a contamination issue, with the exception, I guess, of a nuclear situation. I don't know that we'd be able to harvest the rainwater, even though we'd have to get out. But we have unlimited water, unlimited lighting. virtually unlimited ability to survive heat wise. And then that brings us to food. And we keep a couple months on hand. We probably have six or eight all total in the house. And then we have the ability to grow, hunt, and catch fish from there. And my thought is that, if it looks that bad that we're going to go that kind of an extended period of time, we would adjust accordingly at that time. If we're staying, we would have to either, increase our stores or grow food and harvest and things like that. I don't think too much in those terms because I don't really prepare for the worst case scenario. I just prepare based on time. That's my method. Okay. You don't know what's going to happen. It could be a grid down scenario. It could be a nuclear war. It could be a COVID. It could be an economic collapse. It could be a million different things. You have no idea. So what do you do? Just prepare for all of it. And my thing is, hey, it does you no good to be able to completely survive a nuclear attack, right? So you're gonna have a nuclear bunker, right? 6 foot concrete walls or whatever. And then you come out of it and you've got nothing or no ability to get out and get anywhere. So that to me doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd rather just prepare on a practical level, right? Hey, what do we do if we disconnected for 24 hours? Are we good? I was talking the other day about today. Was it today? Yeah, I'm losing track. That you got to be able to walk. What if the car won't start and you got to get to a FEMA center or something like that? Like I said, I don't expect any of these things to happen, really. It's not my expectation. Likely? I don't think so. Possible? More and more every day, it seems like. And that's why I wanted to bring this to you. So, all that to say, I wouldn't let the fear mongering take hold. If you're feeling any anxiety about these things going on, seek medical advice. I would say to you, it's because you're not well prepared. Let me touch on the security side here. I haven't been talking that long. This isn't going to be a long show. After all, it is a bonus for the day. You got to be thinking about the security. And let me just break down the security for you. There's two kinds, basically. You can think about it this way, offensively and defensively. Let's start with the offensively. Why would you want any offensive capabilities? What does that mean? The ability to take a target. That's what that means. Whether or not it's an armed defended or not, you'd have to decide what kind of target are you going to take? Are you going to break into the food store in a certain situation? If you are, how are you going to do it? How are you getting in and out? What are you going to do with other people around? You don't think that a neighbor of a grocery store see you breaking in isn't going to, be some kind of a vigilante and come out and put a stop to that? I guarantee you there'd be people that would. You may have to deal with all that. You may have to deal with other scavengers. You may be getting robbed at the same time you're doing the robbing, so to speak. And you say, well, I don't want to engage in any of that. Okay, then take it off your list. Just understand what that's going to mean to you. If you are going to put it on your list, by the way, you're going to put yourself in the category of what I call the hunters, especially if you're going to go after human targets. What would that mean? You say, well, in a certain situation, we may need to acquire targets. And it takes a special group of people to do that. And you need to understand everything that comes with it. And the basics of it is shoot, move, communicate. If you don't have those three things, you're going to very quickly get in trouble, right? You need to understand ambushes, element of surprise, cover and concealment, all these things. There's a lot to it. How many numbers are you versus them? How are you going to compound all that? There's a lot to that. If you don't know what you're doing, I would proceed very, very carefully. But that's security part one, right? And security part two. Now, hopefully, security part one, by the way, there's some semblance of local order where maybe the local police force say, we're going to call up some kind of reserve force. Would you volunteer and take you in and bring some structure to that? Or you're going to form a committee of, say, like a town patrol or something like that. If you don't know what you're doing, I wouldn't get involved in it. If you got people organizing it that don't know what they're doing, as in they're not Marines, then I wouldn't listen to them. I'm not kidding. But for me personally, if there was a local group, putting together a security task force or something like that, and it wasn't led by Marines, I'd have no interest in participating. That's just me, because I know how other people think, and I know how quickly they get themselves in trouble. What's the size of the patrol? How far out? What kind of communication? You'll find that police, army, other branches, no disrespect to anybody, believe me. They just don't handle these things in the same way that the Marines would. We have a very Darwinistic survival at all costs type mentality. It's very vicious, can be very violent, and needs to be in that situation. Also very thorough, right? And we don't fight fair. The Marines don't fight fair. That's part of it. What the hell are we gonna fight fair for? We're gonna take every advantage we possibly can, called ruthless. Anyway, that's security one. Fun to talk about, not fun to engage in. Leave it up to the police. That's my advice. Leave it up to others. Then there's a second part, and that's defensive. And you've heard me talk about this. This is part of the reason why the lighting is so important. And by the way, the lack of, you've heard me talk about this. You get into certain survival situations, and you can't have light shining that everybody and the brother sees that you're alive, warm, and well, and they're going to converge on your home to take it from you. You don't want that to happen, obviously. So, what do you need to do for security? Be able to black out your windows or completely shut everything down. Lighting that you can use for security purposes to identify targets, night vision if you can. There's some inexpensive stuff out there. Make sure that you have the ability to quiet all noises if you need be. Generators can be a no-go. And that's why we have those solar backups, man. It's important stuff. What else? You want to have alarms, whether they're mechanical or electronic, probably a mechanical. It's good to know how to make them, a tripwire, anything that you can get advance notice when somebody's on your property. All right. You don't want to find out when they're in the house, especially if it ends up being multiple. And I guess the last two things I would say to you to think about is the mindset that would come with a radical shift in circumstances. Who's going to survive and who's not? And how much working together, how much trust, who do you trust? I think all these things are going to become more and more important. I don't think, the earthquake was some sign of any biblical times, if you ask me. And I'm going to say that the Iran situation, if I had to guess, is probably going to escalate to some degree. Where will it go from there? I don't really know. I don't really know. I know this. I sleep a lot better knowing that I'm well prepared, that I have all my bases covered. And I feel good to be able to bring you this message to remind you to do the same. Take care of yourself. Make sure you can walk and lift and take care of yourself if need be. Tools, I should have mentioned. How many, everybody's stocking up on, look, you got people stocking up on paper towels, and then you got the other half that, buying buckets and buckets of food. How many people have a bow saw then go cut wood, or like five of them, like I do? You know how important those hands, I'm not kidding you when I say that. I got about five of them, and a portable one or two, a little pack one. You know how important those saws will become? Digging bar, shovels, pickaxe, hoe, all these types of things, tarps, all very important. Not to mention your screwdrivers for fixing things. How about a torch? Do you have all these things at your disposal? And you may say, well, I live in town, I don't work with my hands. You better have a little. You better have a little. It's going to be a big part of it. How about a wheeled cart in case you got to get out on foot? You know how valuable that would become? Now we're fortunate here with the way our yard is set up. We have two. We might very well use both of them. I've thought about a way I could hook one up to the electric bike if we needed to get out in that fashion, if that was even an option. Anyway, don't forget about tools and equipment. And financially, alternative currency like gold and silver. So that's the things I will be thinking about. We're heading into the weekend. I already said this. I said it earlier today. I'll say it again. Now's the time. If you're sitting back waiting, I'm going to tell you, it might be too late. And I don't want to be the rebel rouser here, whatever you want to call it. I'm not selling you anything. I would say this, sign up for my email list, thechristopherscottshow.com. One of these days, I'm going to publish that book, Rugged Survivor. And when I do, I think you're going to want to get a copy of it. Anyway, I hope you found that interesting, helpful. Enjoy your weekend. Go get some fresh air. Go get some exercise. And we're going to be back tomorrow. We're already teed up for the whole weekend, Saturday and Sunday. You're welcome. I'll see you there. Make it a great day.